So I'd like for us to talk today some, just getting an idea of rolling through, you know, not only our need, I believe the need to witness, the need to evangelize people. And evangelizing is really a word that talks about sharing the gospel with other people. Sharing a message, carrying the good news. Witness. What is a witness? Well, a witness is a person that tells a testimony. They tell what they have seen, what they have heard. They share those things. I think most Christians are aware that we should witness, and I think most Christians would. If you had the ability to just walk up, talk to anybody that you saw, tell them about Jesus Christ, and they got saved, and thank you, and you know, had gratitude to you for the rest of your life, I believe there'd be a lot of people witnessing today, right? I mean, that'd just be pretty easy. But that's just not the way that it goes. And sometimes Christians fear a little bit about messing up. They fear all sorts of other things. I like for us to walk through and look at just some basic ideas. We will not be able to cover everything in one message, but we are going to cover six key words in this message that will help you to remember. I've given out, and if you don't have one before you leave here, our weekly devotionals. And I want to say thank you. Many of you have had a lot of comments and stuff. I call it a weekly devotional, but y'all know it's when the preacher actually gets and does it, devotional. But it's, when you get it, it's for the week. And we usually put about 4 or 5 days worth of stuff on there for you to do and walk through. There's a reason behind each one. This particular week, you're going to read the same passage of Scripture every day and looking at it with a little bit different aspect. And it's to help you grow spiritually and walk you through. Also, a lot of times my goal is to help you remember some of the things we talk about in the message so that God continues to compound that effect. And so we're going to walk through that. So evangelism, me, and SLBC. There's lots of scriptures I would like to read. I'm going to look here. I want you to look in Psalms 126. We've read this several times throughout our month of through September. In Psalms, he's saying, "Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." And I did some research on this chapter itself, not just a few verses. And though we make the spiritual application, it's very true that, you know, we should have tears or a burden for people, and that's very true. In the context, when the psalmist is writing, he's talking about Jews that have been taken out of their homeland and their homeland basically destroyed, and they're returning now to this place. That's why he talks about turn now our captivity. And they literally were prisoners somewhere else. And they're being sent back, allowed to go back to their country, but you know, they're not coming back to a place where farming is going to be easy. The ground now needs to be tilled in a different way. I mean, it's been ruined. And so what he's saying is there's a lot of hard work ahead of you. And as you go out to sow this seed, it's going to require labor. And that labor is not always going to give the greatest return right away. What he's saying here in this context, he's saying there's going to be some physical labor that's going to be heartbreaking, that's going to be sorrowful, that's going to not be enjoyable. And yet he says, but those that will diligently stay with that task will do what? So they will come again. They're going to come back from that field rejoicing because they have a heart. And the spiritual application is, as Christians, as we sow the word of God, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of sorrow at times. You know, I don't want us to just take this as an idea that when we have someone in our life that's unsaved, we should just be in tears because they're unsaved. It's sometimes these tears are referring to the heartbreak of rejection, cruelty. It's hard to break up that hard ground of a person's heart. And the way that they respond to you, that's heartbreaking. It's hard. That's the truth to why we do not witness. You have not witnessed the way that you would like to witness this week or this month or in your lifetime because there is a lot of sorrow that's involved with that. And so we want to look today about moving past that, staying diligent in this work of witnessing and praying and laboring to do some things and staying with it so that there is a harvest that we come back to. I want to look at a few other verses here in 2 Corinthians 5:20. Says, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ." This is a representative from another country. He says, "As though God did beseech us, you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Paul's writing and he's saying, now we are, I am an ambassador for Christ. I represent another kingdom. I just sang about another homeland. We represent that place. We represent a different government. That's the government of God. That's one reason we must be careful not to get too caught up in our politics here, because we, our allegiance is to a different government altogether. That's the government of the kingdom of God. And as we look at that, we recognize that we represent that. An ambassador has to represent himself well, but an ambassador should also be concerned with how people view and understand that kingdom which he represents. And so Paul said, we're ambassadors as though God did reach you through us. God's reaching out to you. And if you think about that, as we look around, there's people in our family, in our communities, and we are ambassadors. God's saying, I want you to go to them. That's the connection. Now I want us to look at 2 Timothy 2:15. In 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. As a Christian, as we study the word of God, the Bible, even as we learn together, this is something that's vitally important. In order for us to have the ability to talk to someone about this kingdom, we've got to know the kingdom. How do I know God? Through his word. Not through my experience alone, but through his word. And so what I want to talk to people about is the word of God, the Bible itself. And so as we look at these things, we're going to move into a whole other story. This is where we're going to look at today, and you're going to look at it this week. This is a man named Philip. There's something interesting about Philip. In one part of the Bible, in the book of Acts, he's called an evangelist. That doesn't mean that he'd go out with a tent and open up a street meeting. What he was is he was a person who carried the good news. He's also something else. In the church, he was what was called one of the first deacons. There's seven deacons that's first put up there in the book of Acts. Deacons then, I promise you, look a lot different than deacons in churches today. And I'm not talking about their appearance. I'm talking about the roles in which they play. The deacon's role was really to take the responsibility off the pastors, the preachers. The apostles said, we don't have the physical time to do the operation and administration of these things. He said, we will give ourselves to the prayer and the teaching of the word of God, appoints men to handle that business part of the church. And he said, make sure that those men are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, which means they can follow the Holy Spirit. Stephen is one of the men. In the very next part after that, the choosing of them, Stephen goes out and he is actually teaching and preaching in the community. And he is stoned to death. And Paul, the apostle, actually was named Saul at that time. Saul was the one that had the authority to allow that to happen. And later Saul becomes Paul. He becomes a Christian. And that influence of Stephen was a very big part of that. Another one of those men was Philip, and Philip was very active in sharing the word of God. And what we need in churches today is not just men that stand where I am to teach the word of God, but men and women and boys and girls that go out and can share the word of God confidently with other people. And so what we find is that Stephen's going to go out, and the Bible says in verse 26, we're in Acts chapter number 8, the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, and do what? That's always an important word. We're never going to do anything as Christians until we get this one little two-letter word down, go. We can learn, but until we go, we're really not going to be successful in doing anything. So he says, arise and go. Now, Philip was actually very active at the very moment that he's getting this message from the Holy Spirit to go out. He was teaching and he was sharing the word of God actively, right there. And yet the Holy Spirit comes to him. And by the way, God's going to use people that are active. Remember one of the videos we watched, it talked about, hey, you know, if you want to be in, like, don't even think about becoming a missionary until you first get active where you are. God's going to use people that's active. That's not to say, well, if you're scared that you're going to be called to be a missionary, just don't do anything. No, we should all be active. It's just saying that we must be active in what we're doing. But he says, arise, go, and now he says, towards the south. So he's giving him physical direction. Always first say, hey, I want to guide you in where I need you to go next. You have the message, you're doing the activity, now I'm going to show you where to take that to. You've practiced it, you've gotten it, now I'm going to show you where to take it. So he says, arise, go into the south, into the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah, that's the book of Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. The place of the scripture which he read was this, he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Who's he talking about? Who's Isaiah talking about that this man's reading about? Jesus. In his humiliation, talking about Jesus, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, or I'm asking you, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or of some other man? Well, we know it's some other man, right? Now Philip takes this opportunity. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him what?
Jesus.
And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. So we're going to look at six key words, and we're going to walk through these as we go through. These are words that they're just basic principles. If you say, okay, God, I'm going to be active, because that's what I need to be as a Christian, regardless of everything else. I need to be active in evangelism in some way. How do I start that process? And so we'll walk through other details later, but I want you to get these six key words down right now. And we'll walk through them one by one, and we'll keep reviewing them. Does that sound good to y'all? Yes. All right, so what's the first key word? It's right here.
Obey.
Obey. Now, who will we obey? Well, notice here it says, an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem, unto Gaza, which is desert. So, here the Lord's giving him direction. He gave him pretty clear direction, too, didn't he? Our direction is not always that clear. He's not going to always say, look, today I want you to get up. I want you to go down to the DMV. I want you to sit on the third row from the back and fourth seat over and wait. You know, that's not the direction you're going to get. But there aren't going to be people that God's already laid upon your heart and he says, this is the person. Or he's going to lead us sometimes in certain ways and all of a sudden we're going to realize, you know what? God didn't send me here for whatever this task or business was. I see now there's a person in this place that God sent me to. And that's when we realize these people are not distractions. You know, people are not problems in our life. You know, they're the people God's put there for us. And so the first thing that we do is not worrying about what I'm going to say, who I'm going to encounter, who do I take this to. It's listening to the Holy Spirit of God that just says, go. Look, I'm giving you some direction. Go. Go into this place. You are here today. And you're part of Shining Light Baptist Church. You know why you're here? And you can answer that a lot of different ways. Yeah, I'm here because I didn't have nowhere else to go. I'm here because... No, you're here because the Holy Spirit's led you here. We firmly believe that God has a church for every person. We also firmly believe we're not the church for every single body. We believe that we're the people, we're the church that God has for you. I believe there's others out there that God has us for, and it's our responsibility to go out there, invite them, bring them, and connect them to this place where God has them. But each of you have a story of how you got here. And really and truly what that is, it was the Holy Spirit of God leading you to a place where he was going to feed you the Word of God, and where he was going to use you to serve the kingdom of God. And so by being here and being active in a church, you're obeying. There's going to be people that you connect with, that God's going to send you to. And that's where you say, okay, God, I don't have to reach the world. I don't have to reach the entire city. Last week we talked to there about 100,000 people at Danville in Pennsylvania County. You say, I can't talk to 100,000 people. How am I going to do it? You don't have to. Out of this 100,000 people, God, who do you connect me with today? Who do you send me to today? Who's my person? Who's my people? See, in missions, me and SLBC, we talked more about a people group, a section of the world. Here we're talking about how does it break down to me and who God wants me to connect with. We have a church. It's not an extremely large church, but it's a large enough church that You know, each week I cannot personally connect to each and every one of you. But I can each week say, God, who is it that needs me this week? Who is it that needs to hear from me? Who is it that needs to physically see me? Who is it that needs, that's a part of something I do, but that should not be my role only, that's your role as well. You see, because if every person in our church that's active, that's obeying the Holy Spirit, will say, God, who is it in our church this week that needs to hear from me? Who is it this week that needs to be seen by me, that needs a connection to me? If every one of us does that, every single person that needs something from God would find it in the resources of their own church without even seeking it. That's what God does. He puts us together as one body. See, my hand works with the rest of my what? My body. God puts our bodies together. The church is a body of Christ. And he says, look, here's how we're going to work together. Each of you recognizes that there's a need. You know, like right now, my head says, I need my hand to scratch my head. My brain says, I need my feet to move me over to this place. And the rest of my body and everything inside saying, I need my brain to work well so I can communicate what's going on here. I need my mouth and my tongue to bring these things out. When we were getting ready to sing earlier, I'm like, Lord, I need my voice to hit the right notes, right? We need it all to work together. But when all of that comes together, did you feel the worship that we had here as we sang the songs together? That's the church working together. So first of all, simply obey. Be at the church where God has called you. And that's not exclusive of saying, hey, there's times that we visit and do things in other places. I'm talking about in your main act of service, dedication, say, God, here's a place I'm going to work through and serve through this church. Out into our communities, out into our workplaces, God, who is it that you've called me to? So the first word is what?
Obey.
Our second word is connect. All right, so I'm trying to break this down by words. Our first word, obey. Obey the Holy Spirit. He will guide you. Connect. Connect with people. Notice what the Holy Spirit tells Philip. He gets him from this massive crowd of people and says, I want you to go down this way, down by the south, which is an area that's desert. What do you expect to see in desert? Not much, right? And he gets to this desert, and there's a chariot going by, and there's a eunuch in it. There's this man who's basically, what he is he's a responsible person for the queen. He's in charge of all of her stuff. This is a very important man, but his value there is not what's in the focus. There's a man who came to worship, and he's leaving, and he still does not have all the answers. He came seeking God, and he hasn't found all those answers yet, so what has God done? God has taken a man who's active in sharing the message, and he says, Philip, I need you to go to where this man is, because this man is seeking me. I need you to go seek him. Y'all see how that works, right? When God puts somebody on your heart, I promise you this, there is no reason to go. They probably don't want anything to do with God. Because they may even tell you that, but God sent you there because they are seeking him, and he is seeking them. He sends you there to make that place. Now, Philip could have got to this place and said, wow, I just heard around a whole lot of people preaching and just a big ministry going on, and now I'm out here in the desert, and there's one person going by, and you know what? He's already gone. Like, you know, that chair is gone. You ever sit there and say, God, I was going to do that. Yeah, I just missed my opportunity. I'm going to take that as a yes. The Holy Spirit tells him this. He arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, and Candace, queen of Ethiopia. He had the charge of all the treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. So it's key there. This man's, he's not really of this Jewish connection, but yet he's come there. Why? He's seeking God. And now he's leaving, and even when he's leaving, he's reading the Word of God. He was returning and sitting in his chariot, read Isaiah the prophet, so he's reading the Bible. Then the what? The Spirit said unto who? What's the next word?
Go.
Again, we got to go. He says, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Connect. In other words, God's going to put us in the vicinity of the people that he needs us to reach. That may not be always physically. There's so many different ways to reach out and connect with people today. I am still communicating with the person I met while I was on vacation. I'm still communicating with other people. And that's exactly what he says. Connect. Join yourself to them. Join yourself to them. I want to say this. In this area, this goes for people just like this eunuch who was seeking God, that is reading the Word of God. Connect yourself to them. But it also goes to these people that have no clue who God is. There's going to be people in this world who are unsaved, have no real clue of the Bible, and they're just living their life the best way they know how, and that best way that they know how has a lot of sin in it. They're not trying to offend you by their sin. They're trying to live their life. They don't even know why what they do bothers you. They're just living their life. They have a story how they got to the place where they are. They're just living their life. And yet you see all this sin. You see everything that's against God. But he said, go and join yourself to this church. He didn't say go participate in the sin. What he's saying is go connect to this person. I heard a great testimony this about 2 weeks ago. I was listening to it, and this man said, and he's actually a missionary now. He's a Christian. He's a missionary. He was once a homosexual. And I think it was in his early 20s or so, he said his family really, he said, I have opposite story of most people that tell their story about being homosexual and having Christian parents and stuff. He said, my parents were unsaved, and they were not okay with me. So there's what? There's a separation, there's a strain. He said the odd thing that happened was my parents got saved. He did. He's not. He didn't grow up in church. And he wasn't a Christian at this time. He said, my parents got saved. He said, you know what they did? You know what changed our relationship? They made a connection with me. They reached out to me. They looked past everything else because here's what they saw. My homosexuality was not my problem. Our relationship with Jesus was. So they didn't focus on his homosexuality. They focused on him as a person. And they built a connection with him. And the Holy Spirit said, go and join yourself to this person. And again, don't take from that we're saying go participate in their sin. What he's saying is make a connection. There are people that I am close to, that people that would call on me, and they know I'm not going to go to where they go, and I'm not going to do the things that they do, but they do not mind calling on me when they recognize this. He cares about me, and if there's a need in my life, I can wake him up. They are better at calling me and not being worried about bothering me than some church people are. And I'm not picking on you, but I mean, people, some of you are like, I would have called you. I mean, this is a really big deal. I would have called you, but it's a little bit late. What do I tell you all the time? My phone's on 24 hours a day. It's beside my bed. If there's a real need, call me. He said, they made a connection with me. He said, seeing the change in their life and seeing their sincere love for me changed me. He got saved. He left the life of homosexuality. He's now serving God in a mission organization. Because his Christian parents made a connection. So when we talk about evangelizing people, doing our part, it's going to require, first, obey the Holy Spirit. Second of all, it's not about debating people's sin. Make a connection to them as a person. And I can tell you multiple stories over and over how that's the changing factor. Matter of fact, we see it in missions that people do not go to another country and start preaching the evils of everything and condemning everything. They go there and they see them as people. Remember the video that we watched where they were actually smuggling doctors and stuff in, and it was medically helping. There was a connection where in Syria, these people were finding help from people they thought was their enemy. He said when they saw them as a person that cared about them, they began to listen and be changed, and he had Christians helping Jews reach Muslims. Make a connection. Long before you worry about how am I going to get them to pray a prayer, how am I going to get them saved, do this. How do I make a connection to that person? How do I do that? And that's your first step. Well, that's your second step. So our first one is what? First word, key word?
Obey.
Our second key word?
Connect.
Third key word?
Ask.
If you'll study through the Bible and you'll see people that come to Jesus Christ, if you'll see relationships where Jesus had an influence, or Paul, or Peter, or Philip, They're asking people questions. How do I connect with somebody? You ask them questions. You talk to them. Now, asking is going to imply something. Asking is going to require something. Does anyone have an idea what I'm talking about? If you're going to ask a question, something else has to be connected to your asking. Listening. Don't ask if you don't intend to listen. Because you'll do more damage in that asking and then not listening to the answer. Don't ask so you can get the question out of the way and then start telling them things. Ask and listen. And whenever I ask you how you're doing and you really want to tell somebody how you're doing, but then they just ask that, and then as soon as you start to talk, they start telling you how they're doing. They didn't want to know how you were doing. They wanted you to tell you how they're doing, and that was just their polite way in the door with it, right? I mean, I've had that. I've had people. You've seen that. And so first, we've got to obey the Holy Spirit, get to where we're supposed to be, to connect with people. How do we do that? We start asking them questions. This is a human thing. Next time anyone's ever going to sell you anything, I'm not talking about being down on salespeople. I'm talking about a really good salesperson, someone that you would even trust and say, okay, I want to buy from this person. They're going to ask you questions. Because they have to know, where are you on what you're doing? Where are you on this idea? Where are you with this? You've got to follow them all the way through. You have to ask. And so how do we connect with people? We ask questions. Because a question starts a conversation. And lets you in. And if you listen well to people and you ask a question, you will now have the ability and influence for them to start talking to you. And if you listen well, in most cases, not all, but in most cases, if you're a good listener, you'll have the opportunity, you've earned the right to speak. You do not have the right to speak into a person's life until you first listen to them. And found out where they really are. It's easy to find a person that lives contrary to what you know the Bible says and start condemning them for while they're there and understand. This is what it talks about judging people. It's really you're talking about judging their motives and condemning them, and you don't even know where they are while they're there. How did they get to that place? How much did they try to get out of that situation? Start asking questions. Here's simple. In our narrative, in our scripture, now, Philip, remember the chariot's gone, right? It's opportunity gone. But the Holy Spirit said, we ain't accepting that. He says, go join yourself to this chariot. So what's he got to do? Now he's got to do something. He says, and Philip ran to him. Philip's got to put some effort in on this thing, doesn't he? You know, what we'd like to do, if we're getting to that one place, like, all right, Lord, you got me to this place. I think this is where you want me. I'm going to stand right here. And you send the person that you want to meet a witness to, and you bring them up here, and you get the conversation started. Well, that would be great, wouldn't it? If God had all the responsibility, but he said, Philip, now put out the effort. You've missed this. Go. So Philip says, that's why I'm here. There's a person. And he gets up to him, and he doesn't jump up to him and start saying, hey, if you die today, do you know that you go to heaven? He hears it. First, notice, it's interesting. The Bible tells us this man's reading the Word of God. He reads the book of Isaiah, very specific. Let's just notice something. Philip has already paid attention to what this man's doing. And he draws in on that. See where people are. See what they're doing. See what their inner interests are. Start to draw in on that. And so he says, we find here, it says he ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah, wood. And here's how I'll start this connection. This man may have some questions about this. He says, understandest thou what thou readest? You're reading that? You have questions about it? What's your thoughts on it? Do you get it? See, a lot of people would love to know about Christianity. They just don't want to be just approached and condemned by someone that doesn't know anything about it. But they'd love to know more about the Bible. He says, do you understand what you read? Do you get this? He, talking about the eunuch, said, how can I accept some man should get? I need some help understanding something that doesn't really, I don't connect the dots to. He said, there's pieces of this puzzle. I don't know who's doing the speaking. Is he talking about himself or is he talking about somebody else? I don't get things. I would need to ask someone questions. I need to rely on someone that can answer. Someone that's willing to sit with me and talk with me and explain this thing to me. And so when Philip reaches out, basically what he's saying, what we see as a picture is Philip saying, hey, I know something about that. Do you have any questions? And this man's like, yeah, I got lots of questions I'd like to ask. And I'm really interested to find out what this is about. I just came from worshiping God, and I really want to know more about him, or I'm just curious, or I don't. And so notice what it said. He desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Philip has earned a seat with this man because he obeyed, he connected, and he asked. That's getting pretty good, isn't it? But now we still got this whole issue of this man's not a Christian, and he doesn't know who Jesus is, and all these things, and how do we do that? So we got to obey, and something together. Obey, connect, ask, and the next word is really simple. Jesus. And what do we mean by that? It's pretty simple. The Bible says, the place of Scripture which he read was this, he was led of the sheep of the slaughter, and like a lamb, dumb before his shearers, so opened he not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth? And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speakest the prophet this, of himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. When we look at this, Philip does something really unique. He keeps the subject on Jesus now. And he does it through the Bible. And he walks man through to show him how that this person that was being spoken about by here is none other than this Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who has recently died, been resurrected, has ascended to heaven, that this man no doubt has heard about. And he's showing him how that this Jesus of Nazareth fulfills all of these Old Testament prophecies. All of the scripture points to him. And he's walking through and he's teaching him how he is the Son of God. How we know that? Because in a little while he's going to say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. They could have talked about the difference in their governments. They could have talked about the difference in their politics. They could have talked about, Philip could have tried to sit there and tell him why he shouldn't do certain things and shouldn't be a part of certain other stuff, but he didn't. He stayed on one fact. He stayed on the fact of Jesus Christ. It's the same model Jesus does. He gets to the woman at the well and begins to ask her questions. He tells her things. And she tried to get distracted with the differences in their religions and the Jews and the Samaritans and the racial differences, and Jesus would never get distracted by those things. He kept the conversation about himself. The great need. See, that family that reached that man that's a homosexual is now serving God and reaching other people. They did that by connecting to him and letting Jesus be seen in them. And when they had the opportunity to talk, they set aside this issue. He said that they recognized homosexuality was not my problem. My problem was not knowing Jesus. Nothing else could be fixed until that point in time. If nothing else is more important than Jesus, then leave everything else alone. It's not our first. You're not going to win someone to Christ by straightening out their beliefs about anything else. You start with Jesus. One of the ways you can do that is you talk to people. I don't really know how to get into this conversation with them. You know, sometimes it's really simple. No matter if it's a different religion, if it's a person you don't know what their religion is, if it's a person that's just in your family, is you can talk to a person, what are your beliefs, what are your thoughts about Jesus Christ? What's your thoughts on him? If a person says, you know, I don't know if I'm a Christian, what's your thoughts about Jesus Christ? Person says, I just don't know if I believe that Bible. Well, I understand that. You may not believe that Bible. Let me tell you, what do you believe about God? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? The person starts getting into other things. I just don't go to church because there's all these hypocrites there. Stay home when there's hypocrites there too. But leave all that alone. Don't debate whether or not you have hypocrites. Don't apologize. I understand that. Let's set that aside. Let's don't talk about church, man. What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Now, how do you answer that in their beliefs? How do you respond? First, you listen. Don't correct them as they're talking. Listen. Because only as you listen do you earn the right to sit down and now talk and be heard as well. And don't answer back with you're wrong, and I'm going to show you why you're wrong. Say, you make some good points. It's very interesting what you say. I want to Can I show you what the Bible says about it? It says you stick with Jesus. Philip stuck with Jesus. Jesus stuck with Jesus. Paul would stick with Jesus. That's of all the other differences we have. Break it down. Understand this. No matter what a person's done, what a person's doing, what a person is, what a person believes, they're not going to hell for those things. They're going to hell because they do not believe that Jesus Christ is Son of God and surrender themselves to Him.
Amen.
That's it. So I don't have to have one approach for this kind of person and one approach for this kind of person and one approach for this person's sin. It's all about bringing them to Jesus Christ. Bring them to Him. Take them through the Bible. What's the Bible say about Jesus? Answer their questions through the Bible. And that's what Philip did. He brought him through. So let's look at our things again and say them together. We'll leave the last one off for a second. Obey. Connect. Ask. Jesus. The next thing we're going to do is confirm. Alright? He has talked to him about Jesus Christ. He has showed him who he is in the Bible. And this man's heard something about baptism, either from Philip or from others. No doubt he's aware of the Jews and the conversions now to Christianity. Baptism was not new in their day. It wasn't just a Christian thing. Baptism is a way for identifying yourself with a group or a people. And so this man's coming along, and he sees water. Philip's been talking to him about Jesus Christ, and he sees enough water for him to be baptized. And he says, look, here is water. What keeps me, what's keeping me from the next step? I want to be baptized now. I want to identify myself with you Christians, and that's what I'm ready to do. And if Philip was like most Christians, he would jump for joy, stop the thing, drag the man down, slug him in the water, get him up, pronounce him saved, and run off. Because he's got a hurried report that he got somebody baptized. Don't be too quick to get a profession from somebody. I see it all the time. A person does not magically become a Christian because you convince them, push them, and manipulate them to say certain words. They become a Christian when it happens in their heart. They must believe themselves. And a belief is something that changes who we are. Changes what we do. Words that can be recited do not change us. But a belief inside our heart changes us. So be slow. Don't be quick. We are patient with people. We're not urging people. That's why here at this church, you do not see us begging and pleading just to get someone to this place and manipulating them emotionally or anything else just to get them to walk through a prayer that will not change their heart. Get inside to that heart. How do I know? Well, Philip started with something. This man's going to come to a place, and here's what he says. And they went on their way. They came into a certain water, and this eunuch said, see, here is water. Wouldn't it hinder me to be baptized? Be really careful with this one. Heard a story very recently. Many of you may have seen it as well. A man was an atheist most of his life, and then he got baptized at the end. That's all the news story told him. I think it's pretty amazing. Very old person, dying, and decides, hey, you know what? I want to be baptized. That's great. My first thought was, I hope he was more than baptized. I hope he wasn't trusting in baptism to be saved. I said this, and I'm not judging where the person was, I don't know. I'm just saying, in a scenario that's possible. I said, how awful would it be to be an atheist all your life, get to the very end and realize I was wrong, I need to be saved, I want to trust in God, and someone leads you and not give you all of the information, the right information, and you still die. Believing the wrong thing. And it's possible. You need to know what a person believes inside. All I'm saying about this particular one is I would love to hear the real story. I'd love to know what he believed. I'd love to know the whole thing. I don't believe our news knows enough to put more than baptism in. They associate it with a religious thing. I would really love to know the man. He says, what hindered me from being baptized? Notice what Philip says. Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. If you believe what? If you believe this message that I've been telling you. And he says, I want you not just to believe. Don't just tell me you believe it. He says, well, believe with all your heart. What's that mean? It's another way of saying, you really, truly, now, accept this, and it leads you. It changes you. It guides you. Your belief has not just changed. Your label has not just changed. Your life, your heart, your actions, your ways have changed. There's many people sitting in churches and their life, their heart, their ways have never changed. The only thing that's changed in their life is their schedule. They go to church now on Sunday. Sometimes. The only thing that's changed is the label they stuck with themselves. Oftentimes their friends never change, or their associates, or their activities, and those things. You know why? Because someone walked them to a place and said, look, if you just go through this baptistry, everything will be all right. If you'll just pray this prayer, everything will be all right. But Philip says, no. He said, I will not baptize you until I am convinced that you've got this down in your heart and you believe this. John the Baptist, people come to him and said, hey, you know, I think they were coming for baptism. John said, hey, what's bringing you out here for this? He said, I'm not baptizing you until there's evidence of change in your life. So it's very unbiblical for us as Christians to rush people through a process. And so he says, if you believe with all your heart, that's the only thing that hinders you. If you don't believe it, if you don't really get it, if it's not changing you, and that's what I want you to know. Don't just get a person and say, I believe with all my heart. There's got to be a change now. Thomas, he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's a big statement for the day and time in which they live. He's saying, I believe this person that was persecuted, that was crucified, that was rejected. I believe this person that his religion now or his followers now are disrupting the entire world. I believe that making this statement that I believe he is the Son of God is going to put me at odds with a lot of people and change a lot of things about my life. He said, I'm willing to make that public statement. I believe that he is the Son of God. I'm willing to not just say it publicly, I'm willing to live it. That's what he's saying. But when he got to that place, we're told that Philip took him down and baptized him. Why? He got to the place he was willing and ready to believe that he did all these things. So the last one that we would have is this one. We've just seen it. Obey, connect, ask Jesus, confirm it, baptize. Don't leave baptism out. Why does this man ask about baptism? Somewhere he knew about baptism. And I believe that somewhere in Philip's message, he was teaching him, you need to identify yourself with Christianity if you're going to accept this Jesus Christ. And this man looks around and says, you know what, there's water. Why don't we just do this right here and now? And Philip says, wait a minute, first we've got to confirm this thing. I need to know that you believe that. But once he does, he's followed him into baptism. And not just be satisfied to have a person pray a prayer. Teach that person about identifying with Jesus Christ. Walk them through. Bring them and teach them what it is to be baptized, to identify yourself with Christianity, to identify yourself, not just through the act of baptism, but in the way that you live, the way you guide your life, and the principles of which you live by. Then you now become a follower of Jesus Christ. Teach them about baptism and the importance of that. It's connected. Jesus says, go ye into all the world and teach the gospel. He tells us to go all the way through, and he says, baptizing them. Leave it out. I want to share something with you. If it scares you too much to say, well, I'm scared if I try to give them to baptize, that'd just be too much, they'd just back away. Well, wait a minute. If they're not willing to take the first step of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ in a simple act of baptism, that's a pretty good way of disqualifying that there might be some sincerity there, right? Look, I'm glad I'll pray the prayer, all that stuff. Just, I'm not coming to your church. I'm not going to be baptized. I'm not ready to do all that stuff. You know what? I'm not ready to follow Jesus because Jesus said, be baptized. You're not going to take the first step, which means you're not there yet. Baptism doesn't say it. But the unwillingness to be baptized is a good indicator. Well, that's a real indicator. Not following the Lord Jesus Christ. Following does not mean follow him on Facebook. It means follow what he says. Obey. Walk through it. Don't be afraid to walk somewhere. Do that process. Be afraid not to. All of these are key words that can help you as you think about your whole process. I want to say this. I think baptism is an important part. Philip goes out, he talks to the person. Who baptized me? I think it'd be great for some of you to come in and say, look, I just led my family member to the Lord. I'd like to baptize them. Did you know there's nothing biblically that says you cannot do that? There's nothing in the Bible that says that the ordained minister of the church has to be the person to baptize somebody. Baptize your friend. There's all kinds of talk about it. There's nothing biblically. In the Bible, you see someone lead someone to Christ, and you see them go down and they baptize them. I'd love for some of you to stand here and baptize someone that you've led to Christ. Because you bond that connection more and more. You can go back to that person and talk with them and help them and lead them. I'd love for you to baptize your children. I enjoy it. I appreciate it. I love walking through the pictures and seeing all the people I baptized, but I'm reminded of something. You know, I'd rather see me baptize the people that I've brought in and see you baptize the people you brought in. I think that'd be an amazing step in your Christian faith. So one day you take Kinsley through here and be able to bring her to a place and say, we're going to baptize her today. We'll walk her through that. Because she's come to the place now that she's a Christian. We've confirmed baptizing. That's a big step. We got these six key words. Let's go through them one more time today. Okay? Together, out loud. Obey, connect, ask, Jesus, confirm, baptize. You have this weekly devotional. Every night you're going to read this passage of Scripture, you're going to think about some of these key words. And you'll review those words. This will help you, okay? Now, this isn't a method of bringing somebody to prayer. It's a principles for you to think about as you do it. And I want to say to our followers on Facebook, if you'd like one of these sheets as well, you'll just have to put a note on there somewhere, and we'll try to get that sent over to you as well. We appreciate all of our Facebook followers as well. Kurt's going to close us out on those. This morning, as we've come to this place of understanding, hey,